Live.
Live. Hi everyone, and welcome to the Nerdy Up North podcast. It's a nerdy podcast and it's hosted by Northern Nerds. I am one of your hosts, Sam.
And I am the other host, Paul. And yes, it is our 2024 review. Ooh. So years gone by, on certain dates we've done certain things to end the year. I know we did, I think we did a year review the first year, didn't we? Or
Oh yeah, there was shit loads of us on for that. Yeah, we did a year review, then the next year we
we
didn't.
did a quiz, I think.
That was last year.
But that was that last year. So what did we do with
That
you?
was last year.
So I think we did a quiz. I don't think we did a review the year the year before that with Graham and He Who Should Not Be Named, Mr. Kneecrack. But yes, and then shark is friend, shark is food. Fuck off. But yeah, then we had the quiz. The quiz was fun, and this year we thought we'd do it a bit simple, a little bit easy. Well, I suggest everyone, do you want more people on? And let's be honest, Sam said, "Fuck no, everyone can fuck off. I just want it to be on the spotlight to be on me." That was a Sammy, the
I'll
Queen of
take
the
it.
North, the Queen of the North.
I'll take it. We last year we ended the year with trading places on
Yes.
New Year's Eve because we had nothing else better to do.
The cursed film, the cursed image that has been the blight. But it was a good episode. I really enjoyed talking about trading places, to be fair.
Did too. I got a lot of anger out, with me hatred of a certain person who should not be named, John Landis. But yeah, I really enjoy. It's one of my favorite films. And it's a new year. It was a new year film. It was ideal.
No, and I know what Chris is playing at in the chat, saying I'm high
What's he
pitched.
doing?
I've tested the volume because I saw your little sneaky game, your sneaky little idiot, trying to mess with me mind, mess with me head. He's trying to get in me head in the middle. He's playing mind games. That Chris, that little Christopher.
Sorry. Who's come on as Top Grumps?
Oh, they've created their own YouTube channel. They've abandoned us already. Has Lee not told you this? Oh, Lee thinks he's above us
Wow.
now. He doesn't need Nerdy Up North anymore.
Oh, well. No, good for yous. Good on yous. At least people will know you're a web series now. There'll be
Yes.
no confusion. No confusion. Everyone knows where we stand. No, it's
No.
great. Jake said 2024 sucked, but got a good feeling about 2025. I was thinking about this today, and it wasn't that bad of a year.
It's been a hard year.
Been hard,
Yes.
it hasn't been too bad.
I
What have we
think
done this year?
the way we've looked at in previous years is we've looked at success for Nerdy Up North is in growth and like spreading the word of the nerd around, the nerd. I
Because
gotta get
everyone's heard about
that
the
about the nerd. Spreading the word that is nerd around the world, and that was always been our kind of gauge of success, shall we say. Well, this year has been a little bit different, where growth has been stifled, but in other areas, I'm more proud of this year for Nerdy Up North than I have ever been, and that's down to a lot of different factors. But we'll get into that a little bit as well. But yeah, I think it's been a year to be proud of, I think, definitely.
Absolutely. The achievements that we've done all this year has been crazy. And I'm trying to rack my brains on everything because it's just swimming around. And then there's something new comes up and I'm like, oh yeah, shit, we did that too. What did we do at the beginning of the year?
We tried to take over the world. We had
We
a battle.
failed.
We had a ba we had a battle plan that was looked a lot different to how it turned out. But I think what we kind of like, me personally, I got excited less on me. I know it sounds really weird saying that. Like, I wasn't enjoying being the focal point or being the focus. I was enjoying seeing other people kind of thrive or grow and like into the thing. Like, seeing Sammy become the powerhouse that she is now. Like, say, like Jake. having, like, say, the confidence and, like, say, to basically know what he wants from the Twitch channel and going for it and doing, determine the way he wants to do it, which is, like, say, quite inspiring to do. But all the other little, like, facets and things that's kind of grew from that, like, if you look at, like, other people that's coming to us saying, we've got these ideas, or we go into people and say, we've got these ideas, what do you think? And kind of helping them kind of get that confidence, or like probably people that's always wanted to do these type of things. If you look at the two, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, like how they probably wouldn't have, if we never said them, this is how you can do it, or we can help you do it, they would probably wouldn't be like be as enthusiastic and doing some crazy stuff like sitting in a fucking bath of gravy, the idiot, and eating rotten fish. But seeing all those things kind of like splinter off from the main focus, which was Nerdy Up North, but turned into more of the community aspect, to saying this is how we can not just help me and Sammy, we can help the community experience what we do and what we've done, and kind of sharing that a little bit.
Yeah, that was the main aim of Nerdy Up North. It wasn't just me and Lee. It was a community thing. We wanted to build a safe place for people to be themselves, and that has just manifested and developed into what we have today. We have the likes of the Top Grumps, who, joking aside, you guys are fucking smashing it. Like, you really are. We've got Gaming Up North, we've got Trekking, Monsters, Women of Nerd Culture. It's like and gigs as well. We have a multitude of platforms now for people to be able to have their own safe space. And that was the point.
And it's like giving them
let's go home.
And giving people confidence as well, like not just in the group, but like showing the support within the group. Like Kelly winning a comedy stand-up competition, and like say again, I'm not saying she wouldn't have had the balls to do it, because she is the ballsiest of us all, but for us to basically push her and support her and saying, look, this is what you like, you are a powerhouse of a person, and getting to share Kelly with the world is just, as I said, is an experience.
The world needs more Kelly, and I'm really sorry that I couldn't be there. Just work was not the best, and I didn't finish till 6, and it was a nightmare. But you guys being there for her, that like would have made all the difference and really boosted Kelly. And like I said, the world needs more Kelly.
Yes, and just like say with the charity stuff as well, like just with the quiz that that Graham does on a monthly basis, which I promise you will be better organized next year. I've had words. They've raised over 2,000. So in all, Nerdy Up North, like if you count up all the charity that we've just done this year, has done £2,500 in charity work. If you count back through the years, we've done nearly £5,000 in charity work just by doing Nerdy Up North and just having fun with it as well. So,
and again, bringing that community spirit. It's been, like the quizzes bring people who I've never seen before, and it's crazy.
And to be fair, half of them I didn't want to see again, to be fair. But yeah.
True.
But yes. So it has been a year. A lot of people, like say, has been lots of trials and tribulations, lots of ups and downs. We have been recognized as influencers now, because we have had two adventures down south down south to coverage. One, like say, as I said, the unbelievable stuff that Sammy missed out for Game of Thrones, which Jake was my partner in crime for that one, and helped me acclimatize down south and becoming a southerner.
If it wasn't for you, Jake, we would still be in London now, lost.
But then on the second trip, history breaking trip, we were a part of not just like nerd history, world history. We were part of like an auction that brought in the highest grossing amount in history for a movie item. We were promoted and we were asked to be a part of that. Take that in just for a moment.
Still can't bring me head around. I've got all these photographs on my phone and I'm like, shit, that actually happened. Like, yeah. That really did happen. The first one being Game of Thrones, that was special. That was really special. And for all that couldn't be part of the day, the lead up to it, all the work that was done before it was just, it was brilliant. Like, us just sitting on a random Sunday afternoon recording a load of shit was just brilliant.
I think
it was so much fun.
Giving us the confidence to know we can hang or do what the other influencers do. And again, not to blow smoke up everyone's arses, we did it better than most people. That's why we got invited back for the second time, because we did it 100%. Better. And the biggest thing of all, if you use code Paul57676, 15% off a nudie. Keep warm in this winter. Just saying.
That is Paul57676 for your Udie special.
Yes. Recommend the pizza.
Sorry, I'm shocked you haven't even got on the day, to be fair.
It's too warm.
Just looking at just hi to everyone who's joined us tonight and who's in the live comments. Lee, I wonder what Sammy's death fact count is up to this year. Fuck knows. That's it. I generally don't know.
No.
But yeah, so the Game of Thrones stuff was absolutely magical. The London trip was just still, I'm still not over it. To be honest, the whole thing, like, even the auction night itself, that was unreal. I have never, I've screamed at my telly many times, but screaming at a live auction was just ridiculous.
Well, just to give people context, when the shoes went up for auction, we were estimated when we were talking down there that they would go for five to seven at the best, they said.
Yeah, five at the least, seven at a push.
That's what they said. So they have broadcast the auction live on YouTube, and me and Sammy were watching it, sending each other sneaky texts going, are you excited? And we just went, why are we sitting here texting each other when we could do it through Discord? And because as I said, if you're listening, we do have a Discord, join us. It's full of naughty nerds.
We made some great friends.
Yeah, well, Anna Chris. And we got a few of the other naughty nerds to come and join us and watch along. And it was so fun. It was such a laugh.
It's such a random thing. Because to be honest, if he didn't set that up, I was going to be ringing him because I was getting sick. I couldn't type fast enough for what was actually going on. So I'm really glad that he set that up. But for it to go for what it did. I mean, we were watching and you had two people bidding against each other on the phone, but then someone sneaking in the room who was then bidding, and it was like this little battle going on, and it was immense. Absolutely immense.
And one of the highlights on that time shoot was how excited Beth was getting. Like, Beth was hilarious.
Yeah, but and Beth's predictions were pretty, she got quite a few spot on. Nobody got the ruby slippers.
Yeah.
Nobody. Because the minute when they hit 5 million, we were like, all right, okay, it's going to come to an end. And it just kept going. And kept going. And kept going to the point where it got to about 20 million. We're like, oh, we're going to stop. This is the stopping point. Nope. Kept going. it was brilliant
to say what was shocked, but then it felt bad because, like, I don't know how auctions work or thing.
Why did they do that?
Because to me, you would have the bigger item at last, but they had this like a couple before the end. So then we got the Wicked Witch of the West's West. It was West. I have to doubt myself now. Hat, and that went for 2.7 million.
Which more is still than what they're expecting.
It's still amazing. Yeah. But then
here's to put it in context for you. So the highest bidded item of pop culture memorabilia was back in 2011, and that was Marilyn Monroe's white subway dress, and that went for 5.6 million.
Is that from The 7 Year Itch?
Yeah. The movie she came out of, did you know, was Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Yes.
That's the bar. That's where you're at, is 5.7 million. So for it to go, like, even Margaret Hamilton's had to go to that amount would still be like, oh shit, that's high.
Well, here's the context as well. the entire lot for the Game of Thrones went for 21 million.
The shoes went for 28.
Yep. So the entire Game of Thrones, like the throne, dragon's heads, swords, all that lumped together came for 20, I think it was either 22 or 23 million.
Wow. That's even better than the dress. Like that's like to put more, things more into perspective, that's even better. The hammer went down to 28 million on them shoes, but it went with all the added extra was 32 million. And I've had people message me saying, you know, that money could have gone to better use and da-da-da. And it's like, I get it. I totally understand it. But I also understand the collectible world as well.
Yeah. Cause,
and I get that, and I get history, and these items need to be preserved. It's crazy that these shoes are 80-year-old, and we're still referencing them today.
And they looked beautiful, like seeing them in person. I'll never experience anything like that.
My highlight was because we walking past that window was just everything became a blur. Like a lot of things were hitting us in the face, and I was like, oh shit, like I need to walk away. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until we walked in officially, walked through the doors, and Paul was in front of us and saw the ruby slippers, and I saw that he dropped a tear or two. And seeing that reaction, that was worth everything. I know what that movie means to him. And I know that I have jumped on something that he has been in love with probably his entire life. So I understand, like, that was such a moment.
It was. But other moments has happened this year as well. Can we just give Sammy and Dan their kudos for having their first... Like, we've had big guests. We've had names on the podcast in the past. We've had Holly. We've had, like, Taffeta. Just to name a few. You had the biggest name, like, say, in UK horror directing, I would say. Like, because The Descent and Dog Soldiers is up there at the top level of British horror. And you spoke to the director, not just like a conversation. You had fun. You brought his Geordie accent back.
I did. I managed to do it. I wondered how long it would take, because there were certain things that he was saying that I was like, oh, you've changed that. Mm-hmm. You've changed that for a Southern audience. But yeah, that was, yeah, we had Neil Marshall. Mm-hmm. On Monsters Up North in March.
I'm not going to try and think about dates.
I can't remember dates. I'm sorry.
Dates is not happening. Yeah, this
I'm trying
year,
to
guys.
Think because my pet. It might have been around February because my parents would have been away, and they went away for their anniversary. So it might have been around February time. But yeah, we had the great Neil Marshall on.
Can I tell the story how that happened, though? Because not many people know about this. Because we've got a lovely member in the group who said he was going to a convention. Mm-hmm. And he was just like nonchalantly going, I'm going to a convention. There's a few people there. Neil Marshall's going to be there. Do you want me to mention about you and that you've got a podcast? The guy who mentioned it was Simon Henderson.
Thank you, Simon.
He, like I say, he just sent us a message out of the blue saying, like, I'm going here, I'm going to have a conversation with him. Like, he's doing his show now. And me just being me, because, like I say, I get a lot of messages from people from the group saying a lot of stuff. Some of it's horseshit, some of it's genuine. Let's be honest. Because, like I say, I love the Nerdy Up North community, but most of these are batshit crazy. Just deal with it. And he just said, he sent us a message the day after and said, I spoke to Neil. He says, all you have to do is contact him. I was like, all right, then. I was good. Okay, so...
Easy done.
So I tried messaging him on Facebook first. No reply. Not even unread. So I was like, all right, we'll ignore that. So I tried him a few days later on Instagram. Within half an hour of messaging him saying, I would love to chat to yous. And then it was kind of like me keep me shit together. And I was like, right, because we had an opportunity. I could have been totally selfish and totally up my own arse and went, I'm going to talk to this person who, like I say, let's be honest, I love his movies. Mm-hmm. I love everything about him. Like, when we got to talk to him again about a different film, my love kind of came out in abundance totally at that point.
We'll get to that.
But I was like thinking about, because again, trying to have the sensible head on, who is it going to benefit? Like, if we get it on Nerdy Up North, yes, we'll get a big buzz. But if we get it on Monsters, on a podcast that's dedicated to horror that we can focus on, it could be magic, which it was. And again, I think I sent you and Dan the message. I was like, this is what I'm suggesting. Would you just be up for it? I think Dan didn't believe it would happen. I think Dan was kind of like,
Paul's Dan was very, yeah, Dan was like, was Paul's, very hesitant.
Paul's full of shit.
That's not how it went down, though. No. We had a meeting and you brought it up then.
Yeah.
And probably for the first time in a long time, you made it speechless. I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you do it. And I was like, what? Oh, okay. Yeah, Dan was very hesitant, and which is understandable. We've not done this before. And this was a big deal for us, like, and especially in being from Newcastle, in horror, it was massive, and I can understand her hesitation. And it went ahead, and I can't remember half the stuff I said to him.
Yous were very professional. That was the thing, and But yous were lovely about it, where it felt more like a conversation rather than like an interrogation or just throwing information at each other. Which again, there's a few things that Nerdy Up North has done, but that is probably in the top three or top five most professional and best moments that we have even done.
It was a proud moment. I was very proud. I had a lot of family members who were incredibly proud of us because, again, he is a working class, Newcastle-based horror director. He made it. He made, like, regardless of how you feel about his films, he's made it within the industry. And thank you, Sonia. Sonia was there on the night to watch it, and that was lovely. And everyone who showed up that night was just, I couldn't listen to it. I generally couldn't listen to it. I couldn't listen back how I sounded or what I said to him. Didn't go as bad as it went better than the second time around.
The second time, you're too hard on yourself, bless you.
I got his character's name wrong.
That's fine. The film was terrible.
Yeah. Wasn't the best. But to be honest, I can kind of see where they were going with it. It was nice to hear him talk about his side of it. And it was lovely to hear Paul and he talks about professionalism. That was professionalism to the max. I've done this for 3 and a bit years, coming up to 4 years with Paul. I have never heard him speak with so much clarity.
I'm a mumbler, damn it.
You were so clear, you were professional, you knew exactly what you wanted to ask him, you knew what you wanted to tell him as well, and how you felt. Listening to you through that, I wanted to sit back and just watch. I didn't want to be a part of it. I just wanted to watch it because you fucking had him in your hand. And what will be another highlight of mine, and don't get it, this is not a pattern. I don't like to see Paul cry. But the end of the interview when Neil went, his reaction was just, it was magical. You knew what you did on that episode. You were absolutely brilliant.
No, like, see, you do have these moments where, like, it's like moments of clarity or moments where things do just click.
The moment, it's within the first few seconds of that going record, you just went into that. You were a totally different person.
But the thing is, though, again, what people don't see, which, again, I wish we could share or show everyone, like, what happens. As a lot of people keep saying, how the sausage is made behind the scenes. It's not always as simple as, like, just turning up and talking about shit.
It was.
With the second Neil Warshall interview, it was a bit more different because with us growing our social media side to the levels that we have been lucky enough to get some interest from other parties. It's like, as I said, it's one of the reasons why Heritage reached out to us. It's the Udi thing. I know it's jokingly, but like that, again,
hey, it's a thing. It's a big thing.
We do regularly get emails from certain companies asking us to review certain movies. I'll be honest, 80% of these movies are unreviewable. Like, I'll be honest, are not our thing, are not
I
something
would say not our thing.
not our thing. Sometimes we get them and we think this will be trash, we'll just give them to Lee and Chris. But like, I noticed the Duchess one was part of like thing we could review. We were very unlucky at the start of the year because when the company started getting in touch with us, it was literally 3 weeks after Late Night with the Devil had come out. So we would have got an early screener of Late Night with the Devil if they got in touch with us 3 weeks earlier, which is devastating. But again, it is what it is. But that's the kind of the email that, but we had to negotiate that email with Neil Marshall as well, because it wasn't as simple as like, do you want to interview him? Yes. It was like, no, this is what we do. This is how we do it. We've talked to Neil before. And he's like, okay, Neil wants to do it, but you can only do this day. I wasn't free. Sammy wasn't free. It wasn't to be. So we're kind of like, what a email back, with tails between our legs saying, we can't do it thing. Got an email back 2 days later. Neil Marshall really wants to talk to you guys. He likes yous. Basically, he can fit yous in on the last day of the press tour. We were the last interview on the press tour. So if you think about it, he's went through 6 or 7 days of constantly talking about this movie, answering the same questions over and over again. And this is not just coming from people like me and Sammy. Like me and Sammy, I love to say we pros and we perfected this. We haven't. And we don't interview people that often.
No,
Or at
you
all.
don't at all.
So that put the pressure on us, something like I've not known. Like I've been nervous before a podcast, like the Ian White one, I was a little nervous for.
That
But that one, like say, because everything kind of like when you're thinking, because you're sitting there and you're like, this is the time slot you're given, and you're thinking before he comes in, it's like the panic sets in, saying, what if we're boring? What if we ask something wrong? What if we say something that's totally against what he's lo not looking for?
What if you say his character's name wrong and call him by his actual partner's name?
That's
And then get
fine.
corrected, and then get corrected by him, and then just feel like the world should just swallow you whole.
He laughed about it. That's the thing. I think,
He did.
yeah, I think,
He
again,
did. I was like, oh, shit.
so it's like that type of thing. And again, going to the Ian White thing, again, it's having the balls to reach out and say it, because he, like,
What
with us doing the Neil Marshall interview, he liked our post. He started following the stuff
Because
we do.
he's part. I don't think everyone realizes he's actually part of that clique.
Yeah.
Like he's part of the clique that is Neil Marshall and his friends, and Ian White is a part of that.
And I think this is the time we got the real Lee, like, on the podcast for the first
Jesus
time.
Christ. Did we just?
Yeah.
In the best possible way. This is like Lee's moment to shine. Like he was prepared, like really prepared. I think I was, and I thought if I overprepare myself, maybe I did go and watch his Predator movies, which, by the way, I fucking loved. I class them as like re I really enjoy them. But that interview was Neil's was stressful in a good way because it was the first one that I'd done, which prepared me for this one. So I was fully prepared. I had a laugh with him. I corrected him twice and Lee. Like, no.
I promoted my idea of the Nicolas Cage universe
He
again.
loved it.
It went down better with him than it did with Neil, but yeah.
But he loved it. Lee was just on top form. Lee did his homework. Like he re I don't think people realize when Lee comes on, he does do a lot of background work. Like he does, because when it comes, because Lee is so polite that he will sit in the back and like let everyone else talk, and then he'll get to his notes. By the time we've come to the end of the episode, Lee hasn't said half the shit that he wants to, which is why you'll find Lee'll talk more towards the end than he does during the middle.
You know what I loved about the Ian White interview though? This is again, this is such a genuine guy, and again, this is gonna sound like me being a dick. We couldn't get him off the Zoom call at the end because you know when
all we wanted to do was scream and shout and he was still there.
He wouldn't. He wouldn't leave. He wanted to talk to Lee. He wanted to talk to us about all the stuff that we had talked about and stuff. We got more out of him after the podcast had ended. Episode had ended because we only thought we had him for an hour. That was the thing.
This is what we did with Neil. We asked because you don't want to take the piss. Yeah. Because we know how much we can talk. So when we interviewed Neil, me and Dan, straight out of the bat, I said, how long have we got you for? Mm-hmm. And he said, an hour-ish. Let's see how... And even Neil said, let's just see how it goes. So we knew we had like the hour mark to get to and then, you know, try and like wrap it up from there. He said exactly the same thing. But to be honest with you, he probably could have gone for another 2-3 hours. The minute Lee mentioned one of his films that nobody talks about, he was fucking excited. Like, really excited. And Lee saying, I would everyone to go on. I was like, what if I didn't deserve this? How could you not have gone on?
You are the 80s action, like, freak.
Yes. This is, like, your genre.
Yeah. And again, it's, like, a lot of people probably see things differently about me. I have zero ego when it comes to this type of stuff.
Like, say, he could have done that Neil Marshall interview.
If it comes initially. To something, if I think it's going to, someone's going to do it better or fits in, or if I can help someone get to something that they want to do, I've got no problem. I've never once wanted to stand in anyone's way. That's just not... I don't think I've got that in me type thing.
He really doesn't. If the stars hadn't aligned the way they did, he may not have even been coming down to London with us.
Mm-hmm. No.
It would have been somebody else.
It would probably have been Lee.
probably would have been Lee or Jake, maybe. But yeah, if the stars hadn't aligned, and that's him. He could, and to be honest, he could have kept it to himself and just said, and then said no to the whole thing and no to anyone going, could have quite easily done it. But that's not Paul. That's not what Paul does. And again, going back to the Neil Marshall episode, he could have quite easily had that on Nerdy Up North, but he didn't. So his ego is intact.
For now.
For now. Let's see how 2025 goes.
25 is the year of the ego, where everything goes mental and crazy.
This influencer, Udi influencer, just takes over.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year, but like, and again, we've been experiencing lots of different things. I love the fact that we've taken a few risks this year. Like, we've done things like been passion projects. I've loved that Jake's done a bit of cartoons. Hopefully in the new year we'll get more of the cartoons. Like I say, we've set up his Marvel stuff, Countdown to Doomsday, which I love the idea for. And again, it's just about like trying to have as much fun, and when we're having fun, it comes across in so much. And that, again, going back to like the charity stream that we've just done, based on like one of the parts of the charity, because we were having so much fun talking about Star Wars, we are looking to integrate Star Wars more into like the conversation, into episodes of the podcast, where we're getting Joe involved, we're getting Jake involved, and seeing like people like that conversation and having that type of fun. That's why we do this. We don't do this just to sit in here for an hour going blowing smoke up each other's asses and trying to say, oh, we've done this and done that. It's about
The niceties are going to end after this episode. It's not going to continue on through 2025. Paul's absolutely right. The charity stream that we did, I don't think we realized how much we love Star Wars. We like Star Wars, but I don't think we realized how much we loved it until we were in that conversation and we didn't want to leave.
No.
Like, oh, it was the two movies that literally took the entire hour to talk about. There was no gaps. There was no, do you know what I mean? There was no other conversation happening in it. It was simply just about that. So to take that element and put it into next year's episodes, I am so, so excited for. Just to go, just run through the conventions we did this year. We did the Manchester Horror Convention at the beginning of the year. That was...
Well, Lee tried to kill us with his driving skills.
Oh, hey. Do you know, he softened the blow by his hospitality of his car. because that was incredibly sweet. Me and Jake were sitting in the back, and in the back of the seats of the driver and the passenger, there was mini rolls, toothbrush, toothpaste.
Just in case Lee wanted to nick on with Sammy, just putting that rumor out there now.
and juice, which got me, he got squeezy juice, knee water.
Just 1 second, though, about the HorrorCon. Can I just say something? I've never seen Sammy so excited because she was given a lanyard with creator on. Like, she was hugging this like it was like the best thing she's ever seen. It was like, I'm a creator, I'm important. But so again,
some things came out that day that should not have come out. They saw my genuine fear of
owls,
snakes and owls. And yep, I was absolutely terrified. I love owls. I think they're absolutely beautiful, but it's the minute wings.
Mm-hmm.
It's wings. I can't do that. And yeah, I freaked out. Lee found it hilarious. Me vape went off in me bag to where my bag was just smoke. Lee's talking to this really nice author guy, and I am having an absolute meltdown because of smoke coming out of me bag.
We made some good friends that day as well.
We did. And it was such a lovely convention. It was everything. Do you know what was so refreshing about it? Mm-hmm. Was that it wasn't just Funko Pops.
No. It was like a horror craft fair.
Yes, and it was so refreshing and so nice to be around as well. And everyone, oh yeah, and the paranormal side of it as well. Jesus, Mary. But everyone was just so sweet how they spoke to you.
Yeah. And then, like in Nerdfest, we saw Lee Stalk Jet from Gladiator. That was my mate Diane.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting one. But again,
that was funny.
Like seeing like the local convention and seeing the Castle Coven girls being looking amazing and doing their thing there. But and realizing a little bit as well, we're not made for big conventions a little bit. We're a bit too old for big conventions now, I would say.
Yeah, maybe. Nerdfest was good. The convention itself was it is what it is. It's an early convention. There's no bells or whistles about it. I did walk away with the best bit of kit. Best piece that I bought my entire con time, apart from my shining bag, was this guy right here.
Mm-hmm.
Jar Jar came home with us. My husband wasn't exactly thrilled about it, but hey, what's he going to do?
Just a second, Sonia said that. Sonia, you said you would love to go at the convention. I think we're going back this April. I think we've been asked back, so
we have.
So we'll hopefully have a space in the car that you can jump in with us if you want.
We'll organise travel because I think more of us are going to go because we didn't know what to expect. We got invited down as guests. Lee was lovely enough to drive because the idea of me driving to Manchester just made us physically sick in my car. It was when Lee handed you the pedal when we were driving. That was so funny. We will definitely organise for us to take like to go with more people because they deserve the love and the support. And it was a really good time. But Nerdfest, and this is what happened to Full of Horror. My favourite time is when we're all sitting in Pizza Hut.
Yeah, and Lee broke the Chris broke the ice cream machine. Yeah. Yes,
because you can't take them anywhere.
No.
Literally cannot take them anywhere. And then me, you and Lee did the Northeast Comic Con.
Yep. Which the less to say about that the better. Like 30 quid ahead. Quid ahead. That was embarrassing.
Embarrassing event.
Panels you couldn't hear.
Nah, and honestly, there was two two sellers, Dean of the Dead and Bleeding Marvelous were the only two that were unique because everything else looked like a fucking carbo sale.
Yeah.
And the donut guy was.
Mm-hmm.
That was some good donuts.
But, that was one of the reasons why we didn't bother even attempting to go at the one in October until we hear better things. But for the love of horror, that was the big one that we like set our year around to go to.
We did, but before we did that, we did SunnyCon.
Ah, yes, the hottest place on Earth.
Oh my God, hotter than the sun. Yeah, we did Sunnycorn on the. Did we go the Saturday this time? Because we normally go on the Sunday. We did the
Yeah,
Saturday.
we did the Saturday because we haven't been putting a pound in because let's be honest, it's not really
It's not our
our
thing.
it's not our audience type thing. Maybe
We're not.
Top Grumps can do one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because they could fit that into their thing, but for us, it's not. We are completely out of our element, like completely. And we've. I feel that's where I felt old was at Sunnycon, because there's a it's aimed at such a young audience, and there's a lot of young people who really enjoy anime, but it is well put together. It was good to be around friends. Like, there was a lot of us who went, and then we had food afterwards. That was fun.
Well,
And
me
then
and
we went
Sammy
home.
and our partners did. We fucked off everyone else. We had a
Yeah,
nice
because
meal.
my husband came. This was Anth did Nerdfest. He's not really a convention type of person, but he did Nerdfest, he did Sunnycon, and then he did For the
The
Love of
level.
Horror, which, wow, for somebody who, like, I thought Sunnycon would prepare him because it's a lot of people. For the Love of Horror trousers that, like, for people, there's so many.
So many big titty goths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't fucking move for them.
Yes.
But yeah, so the main attraction of the year, I would say, was For the Love of Horror. We went down. Paul and Nick went, me and Anth went, Chris and Molly, Lee and Bex.
That was it.
That was it. That was
Yeah.
it
It
for our group. Yeah.
was like a couple's week, a couple's
It
retreat.
really was. It was a couple's retreat, but it was so much fun. The convention was great. The after was way better. It was so much better.
But yeah,
We had a right laugh.
I went to bed at 9 o'clock, so it was fine.
It was later than that, man. We didn't get back to thingy until gone about 9, 10 o'clock. You went to bed about 11. I can't remember what time your wife left, because like, if she hadn't, I'd still be there.
Yes, but no, it was
Oh,
again.
thankfully.
I think it was like, say, building them bonds, like say, actually getting to know each other better in certain situations, and like it's similar like me going down to London with Jake, and like there's you've got to be a certain comfort level with a person to be able to spend not just like a day, but it's like a full 24 hours
Oh,
and
yeah.
change with that person. And not like want to strangle the person. Like say, I never felt that way with Jake. And like say, and I'll say this now: Sammy does not snore. I was warned like by Anth and said that it was gonna snore, but she didn't. Even though we had seven beds to share, which
My
was
gosh,
just.
that room was something else. Just to go back to the Full of a Horror a minute, that weekend was just absolutely brilliant. I don't know if it's something I'll be able to do next year because I am going away. But I do recommend, for the love of horror, go with your friends and just do the convention side of things, but then just go and spend time with your friends, because it was so much fun.
Stay at the
But yeah,
hotel
that.
where you stayed at. The hotel was perfect.
Oh, it was perfect situation. We were very lucky that weekend. I mean, we got that hotel the day we came back from the last one. We locked that baby down.
So next to the hotel was a co-op where you got all your alcohol, and then there was a Wagamama's just down the street, so
Yeah, we were.
and a Blue Peter Garden.
Yeah, it was just it was it honestly, it was such a brilliant weekend. The London trip, though, that hotel room will haunt me forever. I've never felt fear so much as when we walked through that door.
Yeah,
It was so
so there's
scary.
been some dodgy films made in that room. I'm not going
Oh.
to say that.
I just couldn't get over the amount of beds. Seven beds.
Seven beds, and
Seven
it
beds,
was
yeah.
clean. It was clean. It was clean,
It
though.
was.
It was
Hey, yeah,
clean.
where it was located, it was perfect. We got to where we needed to be. Everything for the whole weekend just fell lovely into place. Nothing was a struggle.
And can I say though, I looked after both Sammy and Jake when we went to like London. First thing we did, I took Jake the same place. We went to the Hard Rock Cafe, and I spoiled them to a cocktail. That was my little present to them for keeping us company during the holidays there.
Oh, bless him. It was he's so sweet. It was a lovely weekend. Did we do the charity stream after that or before that?
The charity stream was before, because we were absolutely knackered, because literally we got 2 weeks' notice for the Ruby Slippers. We didn't know, we kind of had a, from looking at the website, we kind of had an idea of what items could be there. But the only item we knew for certain was the Ruby Slippers. But we had 2 weeks to sort out. The Game of Thrones, I think we had a month to sort out.
It was time with that one.
Mm-hmm. But yes. But yeah, like as a year experience for none, I think it's been a huge learning curve, not just for me, I think for everyone involved with Nerdy Up North, just to try and reevaluate and see where we are. As again, I know we've had ups and downs, like the whole Facebook debacle of basically almost removing the Facebook page and Instagram because I shared a picture of Dan Aykroyd from Trading Places, which I am still being punished with now. I've got 100 days left.
100 days. 100 days left of his punishment and he'll be out of it. But we've had some amazing people on this year. We had Taffer Duran at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That was, for me, huge. Like, I have followed Taffeta and her Facebook page since 2014, 2015. Mm-hmm. So to now be able to call her a friend is just mind boggling to us. We had Katie on.
Katie, yep.
That was a brilliant episode. I got to talk death and more death, and it was just, and somebody who understood us as well. I was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
What I loved about there. And again, I don't know, I'm trying to remember the episode, because like with Katie, it was like, we, before we could record the episode, she talked to us for nearly an hour and a half just randomly. Yeah,
it took us a long time to get to press that record button.
Learning about her experience, because like we think we have blown up. Katie is in the millions of the followers. Like she is like out there. She's even planning a US tour for next year.
She has a book deal, for fuck's sake. Like,
yeah.
She's living the dream. And I couldn't be more happier for her. She is such a genuinely lovely person. Bottom of the heart, lovely person.
Certainly, yeah. But to hear her stories of the bad side of social media as well.
Yeah.
That is, because that's one thing we have been very, very lucky with in Nerdy Up North. We've had a few scrapes, but we've not had anyone like to the level where she can't use her real name.
Nope. She can't use her real name. She has to hide the identity of certain people in her life because of how bad that it got.
Mm-hmm.
We are incredibly fortunate that we have not experienced that, and I am devastated for her that she has. Honestly, if you want, I know we're on our own podcast, but Katie's podcast is incredibly informative. Like, the girl does her fucking homework, and the stuff that she likes, I'm like, I made a friend, yay.
So question is, Sammy, because I know we're gushing over a lot of stuff. What has been your favorite episode for this year?
For Nerdy Up North?
Yep, for anything that you've done.
Oh, okay.
Overall.
God, that's hard, because I do quite a bit. when I came back from, I went to Paris in May. When I came back from Paris, I think for 4 or 5 days out of a week, for nearly a month, I was recording. Burnout was not even a fucking word. Like, I just had, like, I did so much. But right, I'm gonna have to categorize this. So for Nerdy Up North, my favorite episode of this year, and we've done so many and we spoke to some amazing people, but I loved The Shining. The Shining was one of my favorite episodes. I had my favorite people on there, Kelly and Sonia. Honestly, that would have been a close second, because this is where I challenged myself to finish The Shining book, even though I had no intention of talking about the book on the episode, but I set a challenge to myself. I want to read because I always found Stephen King very hard. I'm going to read this book before we do this episode. And by God, 2 hours before we started recording, I finished the last page and then spent the entirety of the episode talking about the book, which I had no intention on doing. But it was so difficult when I'd just finished it and we were talking the movie to book. I absolutely love that episode. My favorite episode on monsters is going to have to be The Blob.
The blah.
The Blob, that was a game changer for us. We had no plan on what we wanted to do in 2025. And when we said The Blob, Dan was at, says, oh, well, there's the 50s one and then there's the 80s one. And she was like, we looked at the poster of the 80s one and went, oh God, this is just, oh God, what are we getting ourselves in for? And then we watched the original and we really thought, shit, we're going to have to shit can this episode. We can't talk about this. Like, we're never going to be able to drag this out. And then we actually both watched the 80s one at the same time. And it was a game changer. To this is the moment where you can't judge a book by its cover, because if we just judged it solely on the poster alone, we would never have watched the brilliance that is The Blob made in the 80s. It is absolute perfection. And it started the double feature for monsters, which has kind of been like something we've gravitated more towards during last year. I haven't done enough Marvel ones yet to say my favorite Marvel one. Maybe the one that I'm about to record.
The one that's coming soon.
Yeah. How about you?
I've got three episodes that jumped to my mind. As you said, the Shining is a close to this one, but I think the conversation on the Dr. Sleep one with Sonya and Kelly was just so entertaining, so easy, so fun. And the subject matter, like, again, the movie is such an amazing movie. I don't think it, again, it because it's held up to The Shining, which is for a lot of people the perfect horror movie. That one, like I say, the Dr. Sleep doesn't get the credit it kind of deserves. And it was kind of like getting to experience other people's opinions the same was quite special. For the Toons one, I loved the Toons episode me and Jake done, the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo. It was
Oh,
so
fun.
much it was so much fun watching this crazy episode of Scooby-Doo, with me being a huge Scooby-Doo fan, kind of reliving the memories and talking about it and just bouncing off and just realizing how crazy, like, the episodes, like these werewolves and stuff that came in, and me and Jake just spending like probably an hour just pissing ourselves laughing at Scooby-Doo was something that was just magical. And the other one I want to talk about is probably my favorite guest of all time, is having Emma on from the BBC radio, talking about Sherlock, because we thought like we were prepared. She was so locked in and so entertaining, and it was again having someone that like that supported us and helped us like
Like from
through
day
the
one.
through and like she never asks anything back from us or anything from us either. But have her come on and just basically have such a wild time, and it was just
I'm
honestly
sure
one
me
of
and
me.
her got into it at one point over characters. I love Emma so much. I think my episode, but the episode I did for her thingy is going out on New Year's Eve day. One of the two. I love her. I absolutely love her. She, like Paul said, she doesn't ask for anything in return. And she has supported us from day one. Literally day one. And anything that we do, she's like, yep, yeah, let's get it promoted. Let's get the word out. She is so amazing. Love you, Emma.
Yes, and she is going to be on BBC Radio 1 on New Year's. Yes, so
Yes.
well done, Emma.
Yes, we found that out when we went there the last time. We went to the BBC studios twice last year. Lost one hoodie twice.
R.I.P. hoodie.
R.I.P. hoodie. What's really funny is I'm wearing it in one of the pictures where me, you, and Michael are sitting in the waiting bit, but I'm not wearing it when we're getting our photos taken in front of the screen.
Right.
Don't know where it went.
Cool. So I know we've talked about Nerdy Up North and Wax Lyrical. And that went longer than I was expecting, I'll be
It what
honest.
it did it did but we've had a hell of a year. But let's talk about movies and television of 2024, because Paul really needs to jog my memory on some things.
I've said this year more than any, like, say, I know we keep saying it's like, oh, horror's making a comeback, horror thing. I think horror really did have a comeback, and not just the simple or standard horror, like the wide variety of different horror movies we got this year was unbelievable. From, as I said, I know I wasn't keen on the movie, but The First Omen was quite interesting. We've had The Terrifier 3, we've had The Substance, we've had Trap, which was an interesting take. Josh Hartnett making a comeback. Who saw that? Mm. The fucking batshit crazy that was Long Legs. Like,
I can't watch that.
like Nicolas Cage being total unhinged, having a having a different take on the vampire in Abigail, which not see that coming. And one of my movies, like, and again, I didn't expect this, but two horror movies that was in my top five movies of the year, Late Night with the Devil, was just a masterpiece in storytelling and how it's going through. And Heretic with Hugh Grant being one of the best villains I have watched. And it's a slow burner and it's so interesting. The conversations they have about religion is like, it doesn't talk down, it doesn't undermine. It's having honest conversations in a way that's done, and having the protagonist do nothing wrong. You know, when they go, oh no, they shouldn't have done that. They do everything right, and it's just great. Yeah.
I think it's one of my movies. I have a list of things that I need to catch up on, and I'm trying, I'm getting through them. I've watched Abigail, I've watched The Substance. Body horror is something I'm trying to get my head around. That kind of helped a little bit. But horror has been, I feel, taking more chances.
100%.
It took more chances. I mean, going back to the big the Omen, the First Omen. Now, The Omen is a very special movie. I mean, one of my all-time ultimate horror movies. And there's, it's very hard to put into words sometimes why I love that movie so much. I thought I was going to eye roll my way all the way through it. Kind of did in a way, because they changed some laws, but they do help you get to where you need to be to watch the next Omen. It does its job in that respect. But I do think horror's taken a lot of chances and not stuck with this, with a typical trope that it does. It hasn't found one thing, latched onto it, and dragged it out for the rest of the year, because that's what horror is very well known for doing. It's been different sides of it. I am going to watch that Hugh Grant one. That is something I'm going to watch before the end of the year. Late Night with the Devil was just,
it's a masterpiece.
It's a masterpiece in movies and I can't say the lead guy's name, but lots of D's. He needs to work more. He is absolutely phenomenal. We all loved him in James Gunn's Suicide Squad. He kind of stole his scenes when he was in that, and he certainly stole the show with Late Night with the Devil. I feel horror in the net in 2025
has a lot to live up to.
I feel like it does. There's some good movies coming out next year as well.
Yeah, and I think this year as well has been the year of the blockbuster with a certain movies. Like, I think Deadpool and Wolverine stole the show, bringing the big movie back to the cinema. I know Deadpool's not everyone's cup of tea, but bringing Wolverine, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, to the MCU and doing it the way that didn't piss on the legacy that was Logan was just something to behold. Like, experienced it. Like, I couldn't believe that they went there. I wouldn't have even, like, the amount of stuff that we kind of heard rumors for or guessed about, and they're still fucking shocked and surprised and went above our expectations as well, was just unreal.
It's the movie that got me hyped for movies again.
For the Marvel universe, yes.
For the Marvel, I lost a lot when Endgames ended. the magic and the spark. And it wasn't just with Marvel, it was quite with a lot of movies. There was no sparkle anymore, there was no build up, there was no excitement around it. Even losing Star Wars movies coming out at Christmas, like it was just the magic had fizzled out. So to have that feeling back again when this one, like I jumped on this hype train, like massively. I did the same again with Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Like I love, regardless of what you think of the films, I love the build up, the anticipation of it all, the theories, the conversations that you get out of it, and then you see it and it's like, oh my god, is it? We did an episode straight after for Deadpool and Wolverine, because I couldn't not.
Yeah.
I needed and hadn't seen it. I needed to get all this out. And it was just, I loved the whole build-up for it. Just to answer Sonia, haven't seen Nosferatu because it doesn't come out until, we don't get it until
Thursday.
Next weekend.
Thursday. Yeah. Thursday.
We get it in New Year. The Americans got it on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. We get it, I'm going to see it on Friday for a very special reason.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, with Beetlejuice, as you mentioned, that was hype that we've not seen in a long time. And again, I loved the buzz, I loved the excitement, and kind of movies latched onto that, like Alien Romulus kind of got on the back of like the buzz from Beetlejuice. Like films started to become an experience like thing. And again, coming into this month, the biggest movie probably of the year, Wicked, that's again, if you like, I know if you, people are saying, oh, it's not for me and stuff. If you love, like, just stage shows, you love fantasy, it is up there. And everyone's going, oh, it's a musical. The songs are fucking catchy. Like, I don't care. Like, but not just the movie, the hype, the marketing. It's back to 90s-style blockbuster that we haven't experienced for at least 5 or 6 years. And I'm all for, if they're going to give us this type of hype and this excitement for movies again, I'm that's why I love movies. That's why I do shit like this, for that type of reason.
Yeah. I am so in it, and I cannot appreciate more as a goth girl how merchandise was dished out for Beetlejuice. Like, not in a million. Like, you could get like a Beetlejuice t-shirt. I have a very old Primark Beetlejuice t-shirt that literally is just the front cover. It's so old, it's faded to shit, but that was literally all you could get. Come a month before this film comes out, I've got pajamas, I've got socks, I've got mugs.
I think Kelly kitted out a whole house in Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I've got all sorts, and it's down to, again, the hype, the I don't want to use the word again, but anticipation of this movie. It all leads up to something.
Yeah, it's going back to like something as simple as when Ghostbusters 2 came out when I was a kid. In Burger King, they had cans of pop that had no pop in, that just had smoke. So when you cracked it open, it was like a ghost came out. It's these stupid marketing campaigns that just basically fills your life with like a little bit of joy, gives you a little bit of a an escape from the reality that the world's shit, like, everything's going wrong, but you can get excited and spend 2 hours in a theater and just like be totally transported, and your worst worries are not that's where this magic and stuff needs to continue, and hopefully it'll continue in the new year with different things.
Long may it rain. One movie that, again, another movie I got on, and I am always going to get on the hype train for this regardless of how anyone else feels about it, but Ghostbusters Frozen Empire came out this year. Again, not everyone's cup of tea. Not, you know, there was a lot of conversation around it, but that was the best part about that. There was a lot of conversations came out of it, and they were all different from the next. Nobody had the same opinion. I love it. I'm always going to love it. You could honestly put 2.5 hours of Bill Murray walking around in a circle with a Ghostbusters outfit on, and I'm going to fucking love it. So I was very biased on my opinion, but then I had two other people sitting with us. I had Lee and Paul, and we had a very roundtable discussion on Ghostbusters Empire, Frozen Empire.
I think,
but again,
when you look back, it's like, I think, again, I'm not saying I didn't enjoy the movie. I did enjoy it. Because let's be honest, any Ghostbuster movie that comes out is better than no Ghostbuster movie. I'd rather have anything than nothing. But again, it's better when you're taking it as a critical eye and look at it through a different viewpoint. You can see where it wanted to go, where it needed to go. But again, I'm not going to suggest that saying, oh, the film should never be made. I'm always going to be happy. Like, I love the one with the girls, like Answer the Call. It's still a Ghostbuster movie. Any Ghostbuster movie is better than a non-Ghostbuster movie, in my opinions.
No, and I totally 100% agree with you. I know I walk into that with rose-tinted glasses. I totally get that. So like I say, I'm not the best person to talk to when it comes down to any criticism over a Ghostbusters film, but I can understand people's point of view. I am not the person who sits there and goes, well, you're wrong, your opinion's wrong, because I'm right. I would never do that. And that's very much proven if you go and listen to the episode that we did. I understand the flaws and how things could have been a bit different, and that, you know, we need to start moving on, kind of thing. But I still fucking loved it. I'm still gonna love it. I'm not gonna say anything bad about it.
I want to mention two other things, and again, it's something that we don't really talk about on this podcast before. We've had brief little conversations about. I know we're going to talk about one of them in a few weeks. I've seen two documentaries this year that just basically stopped me in my tracks. The first one was Michael J. Fox Still. Seeing what he goes through and his drive is just inspirational. And that bloke, like, is going through Parkinson's, and he could be sitting there feeling sorry for himself. He is just a force to be reckoned with. He is just an amazing human being. I'm not just saying that because I love Back to the Future. Like, Michael J. Fox, he's got to have someone with him all the time, because when he walks, he'll fall over. But he will not let people help him. He will walk along. He's picking himself up. Honestly, that documentary, the work he does for different charities, for different people, to give people hope, is just like,
he
honestly
really has, though. I just think his presence alone, and the fact that he's still a working actor with the condition that he has, gives people a lot of hope. And I don't think he realizes, you could do all the charity work in the world, but just him being out there, that means more to anyone. He's a huge part of my life, in my family's, because of obviously the movies, our trips to Universal Studios, and the fact that my dad shares the exact birthday and year date as him. They were born on exactly the same day. So yeah, we have that. My dad read his autobiography and said it was a work of art, and it was incredibly moving. And he's a fighter. And for all we love him as Marty McFly, I will always love him for his character in Spin City.
Yes. Oh,
that was such a great sitcom. Like, you don't get programs like that anymore.
To be fair, Frighteners is such an underrated movie as well.
It's such a good film.
Yeah. I told I wasn't allowed to do because Dan wanted to do it. But you know what, Dan? I might just do it.
And the other documentary?
It's just Superman, the Christopher Reeve story. And I know we are doing Superman in the next few weeks, spoilers, which we will talk. Well, we're doing the Christopher Reeve Superman, so we'll be talking about this documentary as well. This is hard hitting. This shows you behind the scenes. This has interviews, not just with him, with his wife, with his family, and everyone is honest. Like, the conversations he has, like, he was ready to die after the accident, but his wife said, don't. That was the only reason he didn't let himself die. The influence that Robin Williams had in his life, the influence that the fact that if one of the, again, it's hard to say, I think it was Glenn Close who said it. He said if Christopher hadn't passed, Robin would have still been here.
We brushed on it in the Robin Williams episode, which was another, honestly, that was a game changer for me, because that was me looking at someone who I generally thought I knew and was like taken on this whirlwind adventure of his life. And the influence them two had on each other, it wasn't a one-way friendship.
No, they loved each other. Like,
it was two ways. They went to school together. He would just ring them up out of nowhere every day and just say something ridiculous and put the phone down on them. That would be their conversation for the day. But they meant so much to each other. And I fully believe that statement. If he was still here, so would he. He would have fought.
Yeah. And I think the sad thing, again, spoilers to anyone hasn't seen this, because I didn't know this, and it is documented. Before Christopher Reeve passed away, he was getting movement back in his feet. He was starting to move his feet again. Like, this is a guy that had an internal decapitation. Everything was cut off. This has showed you the strength and, like, just basically the will of this person that embodies everything that Superman is about.
He managed to
start moving again.
Yeah, it's heartbreak. It's powerful. It is such a powerful thing, and it's heartbreaking at the same time. The Reeves family have not had it fucking easy by any stretch. Not long after Christopher dies, his wife dies.
A year after.
Their son is one of the genuinely, like, you can tell his dad's influence is there. It's imprinted. He is going to be in the new James Gunn Superman movie. You will get to see a Reeves back in Superman, not as the Superman himself, but he's going to be in the film, which is incredibly touching. Terrifyingly, he looks so much like his dad.
And he's a beautiful man. Like, say,
beautiful. Dan told a story on Monsters where he could have been her stepdad. You have to go and find that episode for that one. It's one I'm going to have to watch. I am going to watch, because I'm very interested in this man. And he's in a movie with Switching Channels with Kathleen Turner. I absolutely love it. It's about a man going on death row. She's a news reporter. He plays her snotty boyfriend, and they're trying to save this man's life, and he does a Houdini act on the electric chair. Oh, it's really good. It's so 80s. It's fantastic.
But there's things that you don't know as well, like, because with this documentary, I'm sorry I'm going into it, because it is mesmerizing. It gives you so much hope and shows you, like, the true worth of this man. It got to the point where they were struggling to pay the healthcare costs. So he decided, right, I need to work. So he started directing movies again, because he needed to pay his health bills.
Yeah. This man, he's part of a legacy that is absolutely unbreakable. And I can't wait. And I know it's a big, Paul's already said spoiler, but we are going into this in detail this in January. Anyone who's listening, please go and watch the documentary before we talk about it, because it would be nice to not ruin it, because I will.
It's gonna be interesting.
And if I don't cry through it,
yeah,
miracles. Miracle.
I think the best thing to come, like, and lots of people always say, especially with Superman, like, oh, I can't relate to Superman. I can't relate to the character. I can't relate because he's too powerful. I agree in certain aspects. Go back and watch Superman 1 and 2. There's a humanity. There's an innocence. There's a reason why Superman is so loved and beloved by a lot of people. It gives so much hope. And it's not just, like, say, Superman, but Christopher Reeves brings so much to that. And again, we'll go into it a whole lot more in a few weeks' time there.
We will. Documentaries is not been my year for documentaries. That if I've watched any, they've not stood out to us. Books, if I can just go into books a minute. I am a reader. And this year I hit a bit of a slump because last year I did the Hunger Games and it was immense. Like, that was unreal. I absolutely had, I can't wait for the next book to come out. I've got it pre-ordered. It's going to be Haymitch. It's the third quarter quill. So I hit a bit of a slump after them, and I was like, didn't have any direction until my best friend for my birthday bought me the Call the Midwife books. They were amazing, brilliant part of English history. I know it's a TV show, but it's also in like true life English history. And then I hit Stephen King, which I have struggled with for many, many years. My sister bought me The Shining and Doctor Sleep for Christmas in 2015. I just read them this year. That's how much I've struggled, but I am on the Stephen King train. Like, I'm nearly finished Pet Sematary. That book has blown my fucking mind. I have one more to read after that, and then I have a little challenge. And you'll find out later on if I pass that challenge.
Well, no, we're going to set the challenge.
Okay,
So
cool.
that's fine.
Oh, 'cause
So
so it's out there, so
it's
now I
out.
have to do
Yeah.
it.
So because we loved, as you said, the Stephen King episode when we had Sonia and Kelly on doing Doctor Sleep, and unfortunately we missed Sonia for The Shining. We thought we'd go through that, and I know we had a little discussion with Kelly and Sonia at the time because we enjoyed it immensely.
So much.
Sam's going to read one of the hardest Stephen King books out there, and again, it's subject matter is difficult to talk about, but it's a book. It's a fucking book. We're going to try and aim to do Stephen King's It in March. So give Sammy a little time, a little space to go through it. And so yeah, hopefully we'll get Sonia and Kelly back on if they're up for it.
Absolutely. This is the people of YouTube, audio people, you'll not be able to see this, but you can go and Google it and find out how big it is. This is it. This is it. Literally, the book It. I have tried. I have about seven different pages in here that I have got stuff in them of where I have tried to read this. I've tried on audio. I've tried on with this. I'm gonna do it though. I did it for The Shining. I am gonna do it. That's my challenge. He said, let's do it in February. I was like, give us some March.
Good match. But yeah, like I say, we would love to have Sonia and Kelly joining us to discuss like the book, the movies. Like I say, let's have a clown fest, shall we say?
I will. Oh my gosh, I get to wear me Pennywise jumper. Yes, Sonia, I will. As soon as I've literally just finishing off Pet Sematary, and then I'm going to read The Green Mile because that was my plan originally. Whether or not I change that and just jump straight in, but I'll message you and let you know.
So,
Yes.
so that's the book side, the
Oh
book.
yeah, book.
So TV shows. This one's been a bit more difficult, I say, because if you look
Yeah.
back in the year, there's been flutters of things, but it's been later this year where we've had
Yeah.
more quality.
The only thing that comes to mind is House of the Dragon, which, yeah, I'm sorry, is quite forgettable, because I've up until this moment right now, it was actually on the back of the picture, and it probably has nothing to do with it, but I can see some flames, and I was like, oh, House of the Dragon. I can't think of
Well, I know a few, so I'll help, so don't worry.
go on.
So Marvel nearly killed us with just the overabundance of shit
Oh
until
my God, yes.
we had the iconic and one of the most out of left field show that no one really was expecting, no one really wanted, but fuck were we glad we got Agatha. Like one
Yeah.
of the unexpected gems that again
Mwah.
give me hope for the Marvel Universe. If they're going to tell these kind of like character side stories,
Yeah.
I'm so in for that and interested. It doesn't have to be a bigger picture, it's just fun.
No,
Just made Marvel fun
exactly.
again.
Make Marvel fun again. Yes, we didn't ask for Agatha. Nobody wanted her. It's not that we didn't want her. We just didn't know that we needed her. And when we got her, it was some of the best writing. Best characters, best development, story was fantastic, the aesthetic was unreal, and the fact that it doesn't even play a part in the MCU makes it so much fucking better. Mm-hmm. Marvel, if you are going to use Disney for TV, use it for shit like this. We don't care that the story interlinks with the MCU. Just give us a good fucking story.
Mm-hmm. We had the return of X-Men 97.
Oh, fuck, my God. Yes.
One, like, this could have went so badly wrong because of the nostalgia and how much love this TV show has, the cartoon. Yeah. And they smashed it out the park with every single episode, every single frame. Like, the artwork was on point, the voice acting. The
Our
names,
group
the,
chat was the, my favourite part.
The name's Gambit. Remember it. Will live with me forever.
It was the on a night time when it aired, we would literally put X-Men question mark and wait to see if to make sure everyone had watched it so we could talk about it.
We
it
haven't had that since Wanda.
No, we haven't. We really haven't. I haven't had Paul continuously message going, Mephisto's coming in on this one. Yeah, thank you for reminding me about that. I completely forgot. That was fun.
No, definitely. I know you haven't watched it, but I was overtaken by Slow Horses. Like, Gary Oldman in one of the greatest roles I was seen. British spy espionage done amazingly well.
My sister has watched it and said it, because I love Gary Oldman. Mm-hmm. I've always said that, you know, I'm going to end up marrying him at some point in this life or the next.
Probably already have, you just don't haven't realised it. Like, it's probably disguised himself as Anne.
Probably, but yeah, my sister has mentioned it to watch that. I did start, and I know I'm a bit late to the game, but I know it's just had its last season. What's it called? That's how much I'm enjoying it. It's got Kevin Costner in.
Yellowstone. Right.
Yellowstone, yes, I have started that. Mm-hmm. Slow, but okay.
But yeah, like I said, there's been other like shows I've enjoyed, like Bad Monkey was fun. Dexter's like only 3 episodes in, but that's made it a triumph of return. Like, honestly,
I feel like we're gonna watch it. I do the reviews I'm getting.
Christian Slater is magnificent in these episodes so far.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at Sonia. Your husband is Gary Oldman. That's how good he is. Sarah's just reminded us Fallout came out this year. I really enjoyed it.
It wasn't for me, but I'm not a Fallout fan, so I don't think I got like everything that was meant to be get. But
the world building, the protagonist herself, she was absolutely phenomenal. I thoroughly enjoyed it. That was a good series for me this year.
And probably it's one of the best shows I've not just seen this year, I've seen since The Sopranos, The Penguin.
Fuck yeah. Finished it.
The Penguin was absolutely breathtaking. It only worries me a little bit now is that they've delayed Batman by an extra year because there's rumours that they're trying to integrate the Batman universe into the Gunn universe. Because at first it was going to be a standalone, so it was going to be called the Reeves universe, Reeves Batman. Uh-huh. But because of how well the Penguin and everything is done, it's kind of the want it to be part of it. But that worries me a little bit if they do go down that route.
I can understand that, but put some trust in James Gunn.
Oh no, like,
he's never steered. He's up until now, he's not steered anyone wrong. And given the reaction of the Superman trailer, mm-hmm. I feel DC are finally in some good hands.
Yeah. Again, I'm not too scared or worried at the moment, but it's kind of like just because the first Batman, it seems so long ago now and it was done so well. I know we've had the Penguin, but I'm kind of excited and kind of intrigued. But probably my surprise of the year, it was a little Netflix show called Man on the Inside, Ted Danson. A little daft.
Right, you watched that?
Yeah, a little daft comedy where he infiltrates like a nursing, like I don't know what it's called, like environment, like a nursing community where it's an old people's home, but it's like all the community, and he's kind of like trying to investigate like a robbery type thing. but he's going through his old trauma of having a, like, he lost his wife through the dementia, and he's seeing that in other people. And again, it's just done so well. It's got the young lass who played Rosa Diaz in Brooklyn Nine-Nine in, and she plays a character that's just absolutely beautifully done. But it's only a 6-episode run, I think. But man on the inside, Ted Danson at his cheers best.
Well, so I'm kind of named after. Mm-hmm. That's no joke. That's not even a lie. Sam from Cheers is where my name comes from.
Hey, Sammy. But yeah, that's the thing. And again, I think I'm on the Squid Games roller coaster again this year.
So Squid Games came out on Boxing Day. We are literally 2 episodes away. I don't know where Paul is right now.
Mm-hmm. Almost done.
But I was worried because it'd been so long that I was like, oh, do I even care anymore? Watched the recap and I was like, okay, starting to remember things. I'm in it. Totally in it. This is, I know it's getting mixed reviews online. Some of the reviews that I read said it's gone from spectacular to boring. I'm sorry, but this is anything but boring. It's added layers to it, to an already interesting story. I did get Hunger Game vibes from it though, and I said to Anth, if on the next series the world's burning and there's a revolution, I'm fucking calling it, it's the Hunger Games. Because the first one is the initial one. She did the initial one. The next one is the return. He's done the return. The third one and the fourth one is when the world is burning and the revolution happens. If that happens, Squid Games is the Hunger Games.
All I'm going to say, though, for the Squid Games is fuck Thanos. Fuck him hard.
Fuck Thanos and his fucking painted nail, fucking infinity gauntlet shit. The guy's doing his job. I'm just going to put it out there. If you haven't seen it already, the guy is doing his job because you're going to fucking hate him.
I think with the Squid Games as well, what it always does well, the interesting characters, they know which ones they want you to root for and they push them hard.
Yes.
And they get you on board early.
Yeah.
And they make them so likable.
So likable. Mm. Like, almost too likable to where you are so fucking attached to them that you are worried for them every second of every minute you are watching that. But I will have that finished tonight. That's my goal, regardless that I am at work tomorrow.
That's fine. But yeah, that's pretty much, because nothing really much has happened in like the TV world. There's been,
really,
as I said,
hasn't.
Like it's kind of waited till the end of the year to kind of explode again. Hopefully, as I said, again, Marvel don't fuck up and start doing stupid things again, trying to be too clever.
Fingers crossed.
Keep it simple, keep it easy. Just don't get too excited. But yeah, exactly. Hopefully we've mentioned a few things that you guys enjoyed. I know Jake and Lee mentioned Dragon Ball.
Ant's been watching that. If you remember anything or anything that you want to talk about, if you are watching us on YouTube, go to the comment section. Let us know. Start a conversation. Start a dialogue. We are happy to have them conversations and get to know what you enjoyed this year, because the likelihood is we've missed shitloads out.
We've just been excited, being influencers and swanning down south and enjoying ourselves.
Being a southerner. Being a fake southerner.
But yes. So what's coming up in the new year, Sammy? What's happening? What do you want to promote? What can you tell us?
Well, Monsters will be making its triumphant return. I made some really cool TikTok videos ready for its return. on the 13th of January, episode to be confirmed.
Oh, you're not telling them yet, are you not?
Nah. To be confirmed next week.
All right.
Next week, you will all find out what the first episode is going to be. Countdown to... What are you laughing at?
I was going to say a quote of the pictures, but I was like, no, I'll shut up.
No. I've already been laying some seeds in tonight. Countdown to Doomsday is coming on Saturday, and that will be Captain Marvel, the First Avenger. Mm-hmm. Holy shit, am I excited for this episode. And me and Jake even messaged the other day and said, can you believe we're nearly at the Avengers?
I'm on the Avengers one, isn't I?
Absolutely.
Right, I thought I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're nearly there. We're nearly at the first marking point, which is the Avengers. But yes, Doomsday on Saturday, and then I'm back on Sunday.
Cool. So next Sunday we are starting a new formula when it comes to the Sunday episodes. Don't worry, we're not changing too much. We're just gonna talk
Trying
about
something new.
try a few different subjects. Like we're gonna be the first of the month, we're gonna be talking about old classic Hollywood, like some movies that people probably don't want to haven't seen in a while, or because they've been filmed a certain way, they probably stayed away. So we are kicking off with the classic movie Some Like It Hot.
Billy Wilder's Some Like It Hot with the great host Marilyn Monroe,
Oh,
Jack Lemmon, and
Tony
Tony
Colonel
Curtis.
Curtis.
Tony
And
Curtis,
did you
Jimmy Starr.
has he got a wig in this one? Is it pre or before wig? You know, he gets
Pre.
upset. He used to get upset if you mentioned it.
Yeah, it's Jamie Starr. We're talking about Jamie Starr. It's gonna be fun.
We're talking about men dressing up as women in the 1930s, which will be fine.
Hey, it is there is some absolutely funny shit in this film. We are bringing classic Hollywood to the nerdy up north just for one episode a month.
A bit of culture, bit of taste.
Bit of culture, a bit of taste, you know. And then we're gonna go back to the nerd part.
Yeah, so I'll just give you a rundown of what we've got planned for January. So we've got Some Like It Hot leading up, then we've got a review of Superman, the Christopher Reeve one and two, and we'll talk about the documentary a little bit.
If I can.
We are going to the 80s for some how would you describe it? Action fantasy in The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I believe we have Lee joining us for that episode.
Another Stephen King.
Yes, an adaptation. And then we're rounding off with Jake and Joe joining us to talk about all about the wars. So we were talking about why we like Star Wars, what got us into Star Wars, and just like having a conversation between the wars.
Yeah, and we're gonna kind of lay the groundwork and see where the next episodes of this can go, because we're gonna get a general feel of where we are within the Star Wars. Because I think we were just cracking the surface
Yes,
on the
because
charity stream.
no, like I say, it's one of them things we all love them for different reasons, and it's interesting having that conversation. So that's going to be January
January.
filled up. Just to say as well, I am guesting on a web series that's coming up, Top Grumps.
Yeah,
I
well
do
done.
apologize now because it probably is the most offensive episode that Top Grumps has done, where Lee had to try and pair back me and Chris.
Oh wow, okay.
Just
Well,
to say that it is about Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka and how we kind of compared him to a war criminal from Austria at certain
wow,
points.
okay. Okay, poor Grandpa Joe. I can't stand that film, but wow. And you're coming off the back of my wholesome episode as well. Wow. You guys have really, really gone there. Well, that's fun that you've been on a web series. It's nice that you were invited.
I said it was quite funny because they will keep saying, "Are you going to come on?" I was like, "Maybe." We're recording, mate. Are you going to be there? Possibly. So
Oh.
I was just being non-committal as fuck. But I've never seen Chris laugh so much. Like literally, we had to stop for a couple of minutes because Chris was just broken for some times. But yeah,
Well, yeah, because Lee is like uber professional on this. Lee takes that shit seriously. He wants his web series to do incredibly well, and I am here for it. Paul is a bad influence on us. Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. Anything else to promote before we go?
No, trekking's off. I think there'll be a few Twitch streams coming up from then. I know I was talking about it in the Discord for New Year's Eve because my wife's going out with her brother and family. I'm stopping in because I don't like it. So I might do a watch along in the Discord if anyone is free. I'm going to try and find a few movies. I might try and pull up Rocky Horror or something like that and just watch it in the
Cool.
Discord on New Year's Eve just to enjoy it and experience, see it in with some lovely nerds if you wanted to as well there. Okay.
Oh, anyone needs a company, that is lovely. What else was I going to say? Women of Nerd Culture have their monthly episode coming out, and it is all about books and book
Books.
talk and wooks. Head over to the Discord for for more information and get involved with the Women of Nerd Culture, because they are very much community driven and very much want people to be involved in their show.
Yes.
So that's the Nerdy Up North Discord.
Yes. Follow wrongins. Watch out for Beth Shabites.
You'll make some good friends. If you are watching us on YouTube, please remember, like, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. The mm-hmm. audio for this episode, and obviously only this episode. Trek was out on Friday. No? Yeah?
Trek's on a break, so yeah.
Oh, right. Sorry. I thought that. My apologies. I'm all over the place. I don't know where I'm at. Audios for all Nerdy Up North go up on a Tuesday from anywhere you get your podcast from. If you can, show some love, show some kindness, leave a review, let us know that you're listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've covered everything.
Yes, and again, buy a nudie, use code.
Use what's the code?
Oh, I'm trying to get the code up now. I'm too busy laughing at myself.
Seven.
Oh, no, it's five something. 2 seconds. So 57676. 57676. Get 15%.
57676.
Yeah. And Chris is saying, become a creep. Yeah. Creepy.
Become a creep. Yeah. Become a creep in the Discord. Can't say it enough. Honestly, you'll meet your bestest friends in there. I promise you.
Yes.
That's it, Paul.
That's it.
The 2024.
That's been a year. It's been an experience. And I say, just to say a big nerdy thank you to everyone who's supported us, everyone who's been there for us. Big shout out to Jake. Like I say, honestly, you're one of the loveliest guys I know. You're a proper sweetheart. Lee, Chris, your driver's absolutely batshit crazy, but also you're like sons I never wanted, but I'm glad yous are there. Goodwill, like say, you're doing what you do. Like say, I love you like a brother. Graham, who scares me, I don't know what he's gonna do next. Sarah, Becca, Beth, like say, all the, like say, the creeps. Molly, you look beautiful. Chris should need to put a ring on that finger. Bex, yeah, I love you. Like everyone, like say, as part of Nerdy Up North, yous are amazing there.
Massive. Shout out to Joe and the team behind the Christmas Carol special that was released on Christmas Day. You guys fucking smashed it. You shocked them. I know that firsthand because I messaged them. You guys did absolutely amazing. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, from the bottom of our hearts for everything that you have done in 2024 to help support us and help keep Nerdy Up North alive, basically.
Yeah, and I forgot to say as well, Sammy called us a nonce. That's not nice. That's not Christmassy.
That was 2015, Sam. That, if you not noticed, the picture was from 2015 when I had blonde hair. So that wasn't
like
me.
She was like, fuck off, you nonce. But yeah, if you watch, if you go on my the YouTube neighbor. Channel.
I must have thought of wrong things that day.
there's a nerdy Christmas carol where, like I say, Paul Scrooge McDuck, whatever, learns the error of his ways and keeps everyone there. But yeah, just batshit crazy, but the production value was actually amazing, so well done. Yeah. Like I say, I was
well
impressed.
Done everyone involved, down from Sonia, Sarah, Becca, Lee, Chris, everyone, Joe, Jake, mm-hmm. Icon, Beth, Nova.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've named everyone. If I haven't, I'm so sorry, and I love you all.
Bye. That's right. Bye. So same bat time, same bat channel.
Stay nerdy, everyone.
And see you in 2025.
2025, baby.
Bye.